The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Now, we are in the month of May, and do you remember what special day happens in the month of May? I bet you all do. It happens on the second Sunday in May every year, and it is Mother's Day. That's right, Mother's Day. So today, our first story is going to be by the Berenstain Bears, We Love Our Mom, and it is about Mother's Day and how the bears work to make their mamas, their Mother's Day extra special. So here we go. Our first story is called, as I said already, We Love Our Mom. It was springtime in Bear Country, and everything was fresh and fragrant. The trees were budding in bright springtime green. The lilacs were in full bloom. Early butterflies flitted from tulip to daffodil, and all the mothers of Bear County were busy taking care of their little ones. Mama Robin was feeding worms to her chirping little fledglings. Fledglings is a name for baby birds. Mama Rabbit was teaching her baby bunnies how to hop. Mama Frog was taking a jar full of tadpoles out for a stroll. And in the Bear family's treehouse, Mama Bear was taking care of her cubs. It was breakfast time, and Mama was cooking pancakes for the family. Mama's pancakes not only tasted good, but they looked good too. She made them into little bear faces for brother, sister, and baby Honey. They always liked to eat the ears off first. "Thank you, Mama," they sang, pouring lots of honey on their steaming hot pancakes. Mama Bear took care of her cubs in plenty of other ways too. She washed their clothes. She sewed their buttons back on their clothes when they popped off. She bandaged their boo-boos when they skinned their knees or stubbed their toes, and gave them a little kiss to make them feel better. She gave them baths, read them stories, and tucked them in at night. She gave them hugs when they woke up with bad dreams. All day, every day, Mama Bear was there for her cubs. "Well, I'm off to Grizzly Grand's," said Papa, finishing up his breakfast. A rocker on her favorite rocking chair came loose, and I fixed it for her. "Can we come?" said brother and sister. "Of course," said Papa. "Grizzly Gran and Gramps will be very happy to see you two." Grandpa loaded up the rocking chair, and they all set off. "Look at all the springtime babies and their mums," said sister. "Springtime is a time for new babies," said Papa, "and for their mothers, too. And don't forget, Mother's Day is coming up." Brother and sister had forgotten all about Mother's Day. They needed to figure out what they would do for Mama on her very special Mother's Day. "Howdy, Grand Cubs," said Grizzly Gramps when they arrived. "Always great to see you." Gran tried out her rocking chair. "Why, it's as good as new," she said. "Thank you, son. You're so good to me." "Gee, Ma," said Papa, "it was just a loose rocker." "Well, little things like that mean a lot to us mums." Gran smiled and gave Papa a kiss. "Now, cubs, come look what I'm working on." She had a big scrapbook on the table. "This is my mama's book," Gran explained. "It holds so many good memories." She pointed a picture to a pretty young bear holding a baby. "Like this." "Who's that?" asked brother. "That's me," Gran smiled. "But you look so young," said sister. "Well, I was young," Gran laughed. "That's your father when he was born." "Our father?" they asked. "You mean Papa?" "Of course," said Gran. "But he's so little," they said. "Yes," agreed Gran. "He has grown." "Well, Ma," said Papa, "we've got to go. But we'll see you next week on Mother's Day. were all going out to brunch at the old Grizzly Inn. On the way home, brother and sister thought about their day. That scrapbook and Papa doing nice things meant so much to Gran. We need to do something special for Mama on Mother's Day, said Sister. How about making a Mama's book like Gran's, suggested Papa. You could put together a scrapbook all about being a mother. Yes, said Brother. We can use the family photos from the old box in the closet. A Mama's book for our own Mama Bear, said Sister, nodding. When they got home, Brother and Sister sneaked the box of photos out of the closet, took it to their room, and got to work. They spread the pictures on the floor and went through them. They used one of their school notebooks for a scrapbook. They picked and chose and cut and pasted, lettered and colored, and by supper time, they were done. They hid the finished scrapbook away in a drawer. They couldn't wait for Mother's Day to arrive. A week later, Brother, Sister, Papa, and Honey ran into Mama and Papa's room first thing in the morning. Happy Mother's Day, they called. Here's your present, Mama. For me, said Mama sleepily. How nice. And she unwrapped her present. Why, it's a Mama's book, just like Gran's, she said. How wonderful. I've always wanted one like it. Thank you, my dears. And she gave all of them a big hug and a kiss. And then she opened the book to the first page. Mama's book. It had pictures of Mama and her three babies, Brother, Sister, and Honey. You were so cute, Brother, Mama said, so round and plump. We used to call you Chubby Cubby. Sister laughed. But you, Sister, said Mama, you cried all the time. We called you Cranky Paws. It was Brother's turn to laugh. Then Honey came along, said Mama. She was so sweet. We just called her Honey. Honey pointed to her picture. Baby, she said. And there's Mama and Honey. Here's a picture of Mama holding Honey when she was just 2 days old. The rest of the scrapbook was full of all kinds of pictures of the family. There was Brother learning to ride a bike. Sister on her first day of school, all dressed up and ready to go, and Honey waving goodbye after they dropped her off at school. And all sorts of pretty pictures. There were birthdays, picnics, vacations, school plays, soccer games, and Thanksgiving dinners. They were all the things that Mama would want to remember about Cubs growing up. So, let's see what pictures we have here. Oh, there's so many. I just can't tell you how many pictures there are. So many cute pictures of the Mama Bear with her three kids. Sorry. There was a tear in Mama's eyes when she came to the end. Thank you, my dear, she said again, hugging them all. This is the most wonderful Mother's Day gift I could ever have gotten. Happy Mother's Day, Mama, Brother and Sister said. Happy, said Baby Honey. And now, said Papa, it's time for us all to get ready to take Mama and Gran out to their Mother's Day brunch. And that is all what they all did. They went out for a nice breakfast brunch. And there's Papa and Grizzly Gramps and Honey and Brother and Sister and Mama and Grizzly Gran's name. And there they're all going out for a nice day all together. And that is the end of We Love Our Mom, Celebrating Mother's Day. Now, our next book is called Angelina Ballerina. And it's by a lady called Catherine Holaberg. And it is about a little mouse who wanted nothing more in the world than to be a ballerina. So here we go. More than anything else in the world, Angelina loved to dance. She danced all the time, and she danced everywhere, and often she was so busy dancing that she forgot about other things that she was supposed to be doing. Let's see. Angelina's mother was always calling to her, "Angelina, it's time to tidy up your room now," or "Please get ready for school now, Angelina." But Angelina never wanted to go to school. She never wanted to do anything but dance. And there she is, out dancing in the front yard, and her mom's in her room, and Angelina's room is a mess. There's toys all over the floor. The bed is unmade. Her dresser drawers are all pulled out, not put back in. It is such a mess. You can barely move around in there. One night, Angelina even danced in her dreams. And when she woke up in the morning, she knew that she was going to be a real ballerina someday. When Mrs. Mouseling called Angelina for breakfast, Angelina was standing on her bed, practicing her curtsies. When it was time for school, Angelina was trying on her mother's hats and making sad and funny faces at herself in the mirror. "You're going to be late again, Angelina," cried Mrs. Mouseling. But Angelina did not care. She skipped over rocks and practiced high leaps over the flower beds until she rammed right into old Mrs. Hodgepodge's pansies and got a terrible scolding. There's Mrs. Hodgepodge looking over. Angelina tumbled down in her prize pansies, and Mrs. Hodgepodge is so angry. At playtime at school, she twirled and spun across the playground so fast that none of the other little mouselings in her class could catch her, and they were all very cross. After school, she did a beautiful arabesque. That's a kind of ballet jump. Beautiful arabesque in the kitchen and knocked over a pitcher of milk and a plate of her mother's best cheddar cheese pies. "Oh, Angelina, your dancing is nothing but a nuisance," exclaimed her mother. She sent Angelina straight upstairs to her room and went to have a talk with Mr. Mouseling. Mrs. Mouseling shook her head and said, "I just don't know what to do about Angelina." Mr. Mouseling thought a while, and then he said, "Well, I think I might have an idea." That same afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Mouseling went out together before all the shops closed for the evening. The next morning, at breakfast, Angelina found a large box with her name on it. Inside was a pink ballet dress and a pair of pink ballet slippers. Angelina's father smiled at her kindly. "I think you are ready to take ballet lessons," he said. Angelina was so excited, she jumped straight up in the air and landed with one foot in her mother's sewing basket. Oh, what a mess. There goes all the needles and the thread, and the mother's knitting, and the yarn, and the knitting needles, too, all spilling out of that basket. The very next day, Angelina took her pink slippers and ballet dress and went to her very first lesson at Miss Lily's ballet school. There were 9 other little mouselings in the class, and they all practiced their curtsies and pliés, that's another type of thing they do in ballet, and ran around to keep the room together just like fairies. Then they skipped and twirled about until it was time to go home. "Congratulations, Angelina," said Miss Lily. "You're a good little dancer, and if you work hard, you may grow up one day to be a real ballerina." There's the ballet class, and there's Miss Lily, the teacher, showing her students what to do, and all these little mouselings dancing around the room in their very pretty little ballet dresses with matching little ballet slippers on. Angelina ran all the way home to give her mother a big hug. "I'm the happiest little mouseling in the world today," she said. From that day on, Angelina came downstairs when her mother called her. She tidied up her room, and she even went to school on time. She helped her mother make cheddar cheese pies. And she even let the other mouselings catch her on the playground sometimes. Angelina was so busy dancing at Miss Lily's that she didn't need to dance at supper time or bedtime or on the way to school anymore. She went every day to her ballet lessons and worked very hard for many years. Until, at last, she became a famous ballerina, Mademoiselle Angelina, and the fans came from far and wide to enjoy her lovely, lovely dancing. There's a full auditorium, or theater, excuse me, with all the mice sitting down with an orchestra down there playing the beautiful music, and there on stage is Mademoiselle Angelina dancing a beautiful, beautiful dance on the stage with a handsome ballet, a handsome mouse prince. You know that men dance ballet also, don't you? Anyways, there they are dancing this lovely story, and there's Angelina looking so happy. She had worked really hard for many years, and she did what she always wanted to do. She wanted to dance on stage and make other people happy. And that's the end of Angelina Ballerina. And now, our next story is called How the Bear Lost His Tail. Once upon a time, a bear had a very long tail, and the fox was very jealous of it. Where am I here? What makes Bear think his tail is so wonderful? Growled that fox as he looked at his own splendid, russet-colored tail. My tail is much finer than his. I am going to teach him a lesson. It was winter, and all the lakes were covered with thick ice. The frog made a hole in the ice and surrounded it with tasty-looking fish. That evening, when the bear passed by, the fox dangled his tail through the hole into the water. "What are you doing?" the bear asked. "I am fishing," said the frog. "The fox. Would you like to try?" The bear loved fish very much, so he was very eager to try. "This is what you must do," the crafty fox explained. "Put your lovely tail in the hole. Soon a fish will grab it, and then you can pull the fish out. In the meantime, you must be very patient and stay perfectly still." The bear was very hungry and wanted to catch some fish, so he did exactly what the fox told him. The next morning, the fox went back to the lake and saw that the bear was lying on the ice. He was fast asleep and covered with snow. The hole had frozen over during the night, and that's how the bear was trapped in the ice. The fox called out, "You've caught a fish. Quick, pull out your tail." The bear woke up with a start and tugged his tail as hard as he could. All of a sudden, there was a loud crack as the bear's frozen tail snapped off. And that explains why bears now have very short tails and why they are definitely not friends with the foxes. I wouldn't be friends with someone who made me do that to my tail either, would you? That would probably hurt my tail very much if I had a tail. Now, our next story is a fairy tale that you might have heard before and is called The Frog Prince. Long ago, a princess lived with her father in a palace surrounded by woods. When it was hot outside, the princess would walk into the shade of the forest and sit by a pond. There she would play with her favorite toy, a golden ball. One day the ball slipped from her hand and fell to the bottom of the pond. "My beautiful golden ball," she sobbed. An ugly, speckled frog popped his head out of the water. "Why are you crying?" he croaked. "I've dropped my precious golden ball into the water," she cried. "What will you give me if I get it for you?" asked the frog. "You may have my jewels," sobbed the unhappy princess. "I don't need jewels," said the frog. "If you promise to care for me and be my friend, let me share food from your plate and sleep on your pillow, I will bring back your golden ball. I promise, said the princess. But she thought to herself, he's only a silly old frog. I don't need to do any of those things. When the frog returned with the ball, she snatched it from him and ran back to the palace. That evening, the princess was having dinner with her father, the king, when there was a knock on the door. When the princess opened the door, she was horrified to find the frog sitting there. She slammed the door and hurried back to the table. "Who was that?" asked the king. "Oh, just a frog," said the princess. "What does a frog want with you?" asked the puzzled king. The princess told her father about the promises she had made. "Princesses always keep their promises," insisted the king. "Let that frog in and make him very welcome." As soon as the frog hopped through the door, he asked to be lifted up to the princess's plate. When the frog saw the look of disgust on the princess's face, he sang, "Princess, princess, fair and sweet, you made me a special vow to be my friend and share your food, so don't forget it now." The king was annoyed to see his daughter acting so rudely. "Now this frog helped you," he said, "and now you must keep your promise to him." For the rest of the day, the frog followed the princess everywhere she went. She hoped that he would go back to his pond when it was time for bed. But when darkness fell, the frog yawned and said, "I am tired." "Take me to your room," she said. "Take me to your room and let me sleep on your pillow." The princess was horrified. "No, I won't," she said rudely. "Go back to your pond and leave me alone." The patient frog sang, "Princess, princess, fair and sweet, you made me a special vow to be my friend and share your food, so don't forget it now." Reluctantly, the princess took the frog to her room. She couldn't bear the thought of sleeping next to him, so she put him on the floor. And then she climbed into her bed and went sound asleep. After a while, the frog jumped up on the bed. "It's drafty down there on the floor. Let me sleep on your pillow," he said. But the sleepy princess felt more annoyed than ever. She picked him up and hurled him across the room. But then she saw him lying dazed and helpless on the floor. She was suddenly filled with pity. "Oh, you poor darling," she cried, and picked him up and kissed him. Suddenly the frog transformed into a handsome young prince. "Sweet princess," he cried, "I was bewitched, and your tender kiss has broken that curse." The prince and the princess soon fell in love, and they were married. They often walked in the shady forest together and sat by the pond together, tossing the golden ball back and forth and smiling at how they first met. No, the prince did not become a frog again, but they just liked to. After they were married, they often liked to walk in that forest together and play with the ball together. And that's a nice story. But it just shows if you make a promise, you really need to keep your word, don't you? This story is called Silly Billy, and it's about a bat. Bats do a lot of things upside down. They eat upside down. They sleep upside down. But Billy Bat spends so much time upside down that he thought up was down. One night, Billy saw the reflection of the moon in the lake as he hung from his perch. "I want to fly to the moon," he said. "Don't be silly, Billy," said his sister Grace. "The moon is too far away." "No, it's not," said Billy, pointing to the reflection in the water. "It's really close. Look." Grace shook her head. "You don't understand," she said. But Billy wasn't listening. "Here I go," he cried. "Whee!" And he spread his wings and zoomed toward the reflection of the moon in the water. Splash! Billy dived into the lake. A few seconds later, he was crawling out, sputtering, and found his sister laughing, waiting for him. "Do you understand now, Billy?" Grace asked. "Yes," said Billy, shivering. "The moon is much, much wetter than it looks." What a silly Billy. And this one is called Fluff's Muddle. Fluff was all in a muddle. During the daytime, when owls should be asleep, Fluff was wide awake. There was just so much happening on the farm. She giggled at the geese waddling around the pond and chuckled as the chickens scratched and pecked at the ground. She laughed so much that she kept waking her family of owls up. "You're too noisy," said her sister Blink. "You're keeping us all awake," said her brother Beak. That night, Fluff was feeling so tired, just when owls should be wide awake. "I know what we can do to fix Fluff's muddle," said Blink. Fluff could hardly believe her eyes as Blink and Beak waddled around the pond like geese and scratched and pecked at the ground like chickens. She laughed so much that it kept her awake all night. By the time morning came, Fluff was feeling very tired indeed. The geese waddled and the chickens scratched and pecked as usual. But Fluff did not notice because she was fast asleep. And now for a couple of little poems. One is called I Had Two Pigeons. I had two pigeons, bright and gay. They flew from me the other day. What was the reason they did go? I cannot tell, for I do not know. Cuckoo, cuckoo. And then this one is called The Groundhog. If the groundhog sees his shadow, we have 6 more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see his shadow, we have an early spring. The little white duck. There's a little white duck, quack, sitting in the water. A little white duck, quack, doing what he ought her. He took a bite of a lily pad, flapped his wings, and he said, "I'm glad I'm a little white duck sitting in the water. Quack, quack, quack." And this one, if I were a bird, I'd sing a song and fly about the whole day long. And when the night came, go to rest up in my cozy little nest. And this one about a magpie. Now, a magpie is a bird. Magpie, magpie, flutter and flee. Turn up your tail and good luck come to me. Well, we've run out of time for today's edition of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, please visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.